This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.
Well, hello everybody, this is Al.
And
we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. This episode, we're going to be talking about being pregnant when the time isn't right.
It's awkward. Let me tell you, it is really awkward to realize that you're expecting another baby and all the circumstances look like this is a rotten time to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
For example, do you remember when you had recently been laid off,
mm-hmm.
and we found out we were expecting a child, and, you know, everybody looks at you funny, how?
Well, you know, sometimes you may already have a pregnancy in progress, and events overtake you. And I think that time, if I recall correctly, I think God had already given us this little unborn child, and then the job went away. And what do you do at that point? Well, of course, you know, it wasn't a matter of ending the pregnancy, but
no,
I mean,
way.
How do we manage this thing? And I remember looking at the insurance and, like, our family insurance.
It's like tripled.
Yeah, it went from like $300 a month to $800 a month.
Which I know that sounds good under Obamacare, but
well,
it was really bad back then.
It was a shock back then, but, you know, we had high-risk pregnancies. We couldn't just wing it with a midwife and pay out of pocket and things like that.
We couldn't even move.
Yeah, we couldn't even move. I mean, you were bedridden. And so, you know, that was a pregnancy that was difficult. And, you know, there's sometimes you get into other circumstances, you know. Maybe you have convictions about family planning, about artificial contraception, and you suddenly realize, whoa, fertility came back quick after that last baby. Do I still believe what I said I believed when I didn't think that we could get pregnant?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one of those things which maybe there's the difference between difficulty that comes on you when there's a pregnancy going already versus trusting God with the whole circumstance thing when there's not a pregnancy, but the circumstances don't look good to begin one. So.
Well, but, you know, regardless,
mm-hmm.
what it really comes down to is trusting God.
It really does.
Because we can't create life. You know, I know people who never used birth control their entire lives and never conceived a child or conceived one child in 30 years of marriage.
Yeah, and that does happen. I mean, and we have to recognize that if God is sovereign over opening the womb, He's also sovereign over closing it. And, you know, that's just one of those things we have to take on faith. But, you know, I think maybe the fundamental thing is just that children are a gift from the Lord. And Psalm 127:3 says that children are a gift of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward.
A reward.
And it doesn't give, except if you just lost your job recently, or your house is being foreclosed, or then it's not a reward, then it's a burden. It doesn't say that, does it?
No, it doesn't. I think the very first thing is to get your own heart right.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, that means you go to the Word of God and you realize children are a gift of the Lord. The next psalm, Psalm 128,
mm-hmm.
says that the man who fears God, his wife will be like a fruitful vine.
And
his children like
olive plants surrounding your table. You don't surround a table with one, do you?
No.
Now, it sounds like lots of kids, a fruitful wife, a very productive, fertile relationship there is a blessing from God. And you know, as we were looking through the Old Testament, there's a lot of times where God's people were going through terrible, terrible trouble, and you never saw any indication that they should refrain from having children. You know, you look at the Israelites in bondage in Egypt.
Not only were they in bondage, but the midwives had been told to kill all the male children they bore.
Mm-hmm. And they did not do it. They disobeyed the earthly authorities' unrighteous commandment, and God praised them and blessed them for it.
Right, and if there was ever a time that it looked like it made sense not to have children, that was it.
Or how about when Israel was taken into captivity, actually it was the kingdom of Judah was taken to Babylon, and in Jeremiah 29, the Lord told the people who were captives in Babylon, take wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may be bear sons and daughters. Now, you know what? These are captives. These are refugees there. I mean, they are people who are in a terrible displaced situation, and God said, don't stop welcoming children.
Yeah, in fact, it still indicates children are a blessing and a gift without exception. You know, how I had to remind myself of those verses every time we got pregnant. Because, y'all, I have train wreck pregnancies. Now, I know you think you have bad pregnancies. I have train wreck pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
I have an incompetent cervix. I have preterm labor. I have gestational diabetes. All that works together to mean lots of meds, dangerous ones, special diet, and generally 6 months of bed rest with each of these kids.
Yeah, and I remember the worst one. You were on not just on bed rest, you were in the Trendelenburg position, which meant your feet were elevated higher than your head.
For 10 weeks.
Yeah, like 10 weeks. I mean, just remarkable trouble having a baby. It's such a simple process, it
seems.
Well,
and you know, so with those train wreck pregnancies, even though I knew children were a blessing, I love our kids tremendously. When I would see that double line on the pregnancy test, I would have to get on my knees.
You'd say, here we go again.
You know, I had to brace myself. I knew it was going to be hard. I knew it was going to be tough. And so I had to go back to those verses and say, okay, what does God say? Does it say children are a blessing when it's easy?
No.
Does it say children are a blessing in good times? You know, it says children are a gift.
Yeah.
Even in the bad times, even in the hard times.
And I think, you know.
And he doesn't say it's going to be easy.
No, because, you know, look at Matthew 24 when Jesus is talking about the end times. He's talking about the coming tribulation, the persecution that's coming. And in Matthew 24:19, it says, woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babes in those days. You know, it's not saying, well, the end times are coming, don't get pregnant. What he's saying is just the simple recognition that if the time comes and you have to flee to the mountains to avoid persecution, it's going to be hard if you're big pregnant or if you're nursing a baby. That doesn't mean don't welcome the babies. It's just saying
sometimes it's hard.
That's going to be hard, and that's realistic. You know, that's not just all. It's not all happy talk. It's real life situation in Scripture.
And what I've got to say, Hal, is over the years, a lot of people have thought I was crazy for continuing to have babies, even as hard as our pregnancies were. But let me tell you something from this side of it,
mm-hmm.
from those days are almost certainly behind for us. Looking back, it seems like nothing compared to the joy that these 8 children have brought to us. I mean, it seems like nothing.
I had no idea how much I would enjoy having a large family and how much we would love all of these kids. You know, emphasize all these kids. Yeah, love them, every one of them. They're individuals. They are just a delight.
They add endless riches to our lives.
And nobody, you know, nobody much told us that. And we just had to kind of launch off in faith many years ago. But you know, the thing is, yeah, there's times when it's hard to be pregnant. And there's times when you think, gosh, you know, there's so much that's unsettled in our lives, or I wish we had more money, or I wish we were in a bigger house or whatever. Should we be having another baby right now if we're going to take, you know, pursue that? And I think, you know, I think really it does come back down to, well, what does God tell us about it?
Absolutely. And, you know, that means, of course, that even in the worst circumstances, abortion is never an option.
But,
never.
Yeah, almost we don't. Do we need to say that? Yeah,
well,
we do
need to say it in this world.
We do.
You know, because people are committing this crime against God all over the place. And we've got to say, you know, that child is a special, unique creation by God and is worthy of life and should be protected under any circumstances.
Even if it's almost certain that's going to be a special needs situation.
We yes.
have several friends who have children with special needs, sometimes profound problems, and you just see the grace that God gives and the love that comes through that family, through that child, through the trials of it, and you have to say, you know, it is truly something from God.
Yes.
And so that's not an exception.
Well, and the Word of God makes the personhood of the unborn child very clear. You know, the Lord says, I knew you in your mother's womb.
Right.
You can't know somebody who's not a person. The John the Baptist leapt for joy in his mother's womb when he recognized his Savior's presence. Things that are not people and don't have souls can't leap for joy.
Yeah, and I think probably, you know what, the church being what it is these days and the culture being what it is, we need to say when we're talking about this, we are assuming people who have some business having babies, okay? There are some people saying, yeah, this is a hard time because me and my boyfriend, you know, we're just not, no, that's a different category. We're talking husbands, wives, in a family, in a covenanted relationship.
Although even in that other relationship, abortion is never an option.
I agree.
Because the life of the child is valuable no matter how that child is created, even
right.
in sin.
Right.
But anyway, so we're looking at the situation, husband and wife, you're feeling scared, you're wondering what people are going to say. First thing, get your heart right. Look at what God's Word says about children. And it's pretty clear, they are a gift. They're present.
And they are a gift, they are given to you specifically. You know, yes. God knows your circumstances. This isn't a vending machine.
No.
I mean, God knows you. He knows your situation. He knows your future. And He is choosing to sovereignly give you this gift of a child right now. Even you. Even in your circumstances.
And I'll tell you what. Your attitude toward that new child tremendously impacts your kid's attitude.
Oh, and for their whole life.
Yes.
If you don't believe it, just think about the child who hears from his earliest age, you know, and this is our third child. They were our oops baby. You know, it's like, but haven't you heard it? You heard people say it all the time. Oh yeah. This was the unexpected one. This was the accidental child or the kids that say,
my tubes out after that. You hear people say, how awful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean the whole thing and just to grow up with that burden to think, boy, my parents didn't really want me, and if they had made their plans a little better, I wouldn't even exist.
Oh, that's awful.
You know, that's got to impact you for your entire life.
Well, you know, it does, Hal, and I think that it changes the children's attitude toward each other. You know, we have always told our children, even though, you know, I was scared about what was to come and what I was going to have to go through. Mm-hmm. I had to have surgery, all kinds of stuff, okay?
Yeah.
I was scared about what I was going to have to go through. I was always very careful to express to our kids, I was excited that God had given us another present. And I think when you express to your kids, look, God's given us another gift, that changes their attitude toward that new sibling.
We always saw that, and it was a blessing to watch, you know, because the children knew that, from experience, the older kids knew, hey, this means a lot of extra chores. This means we can't do as many field trips. This means, you know, some hurried trips to the doctor and things like that.
And a lot more work.
And yet, this is exciting. This is good news.
This is worth it.
It's worth it. And so, you know, if we are very careful to embrace what God says about that, to say, this child is a gift. This child is a gift from our loving Heavenly Father. And maybe I didn't ask for it. Maybe I didn't plan for it. Maybe I'm a little scared of what's ahead. And yet, it's from God. And it's good. And if we just keep our eyes focused on that, then I think that lays a good foundation for that child and for that child's sibling relationships and our interactions within our communities, whether our family or our church or our neighborhood or whatever.
Absolutely. We'll talk more about that mm-hmm. in just a second. I want to talk about the practical. Okay, how do you cope? You found out you're expecting a child. It's hard times. How do you cope? The SchoolhouseTeachers.com is supporting us for this episode. They are sponsoring this podcast. And I just want people to know what a fantastic resource it is. There are hundreds of courses your kids can take. Mm-hmm. Art, science, history, from experts, from real experts, that doesn't cost 1 cent beyond your initial Schoolhouse Teachers membership.
No, and as many kids, if you're blessed with 15 of these children and you want to put all of them in the program, it's the same low price. And it's K through 12. There's a whole wide range of stuff.
Tons of videos.
Video, there's reading material, there's all kinds of things.
Schoolhouse Planner. Mm-hmm. There's so many resources, it's really unbelievable.
It really is. And, you know, this is coming from our friends at the Old Schoolhouse. So you know that they've looked at it. You know that they're careful about it.
It's solid stuff.
They don't just let anybody post something up there. I mean, this is the, you know, there's other providers of stuff out there, and you have to be careful. You don't know what they're teaching. You don't know where their teachers come from. But schoolhouseteachers.com, you can trust these people.
Yes. And so go out there and take a look at schoolhouseteachers.com. Tell them how Melanie sent you. I think you'll really like it. And if you can't remember that, go check out our page at howlandmelanie.com/radio. We'll give you a link.
Right. That's schoolhouseteachers.com.
All right. You know, Hal, let's talk about some practical things. I know one of the concerns I had early in this process of having difficult pregnancies, and it seemed like always at times it didn't make a lot of sense, is how the burden this would place on our children. Because it was so hard for us and required so much time and energy. But I had to realize, and we've said this on so many different episodes, God's curriculum for our children may be different than ours.
Because the lessons that God teaches through, go ahead and say it, suffering.
Yeah.
The lessons that we learn through the trials are things that nobody signs up for. Oh, please send me some trouble. Nobody asks that. But
let me tell you some of the things our kids learned in God's school during these difficult, untimely, according to the world, pregnancies.
Right.
They learned the joy of children. They learned the sanctity of life. They learned where babies came from. To be mature and set aside their own desires to contribute to the family instead.
Yeah, they learned a better ethic of service around the home, and they learned about the necessity to take on responsibility, even at a young age. You know, that there's so much that young people can do with some extra training or a little bit of supervision that sometimes, because it's easier, we just do it ourselves.
Yeah.
And when you can't get out of bed, suddenly you have to realize you have to let that young person serve.
Or when you're strained financially, so you're having to work extra, and there's not as much time for you to handle the house, the kids might have to. Mm-hmm. They learn to be compassionate to their mom.
Mm-hmm.
They learn to care for their future wives. You know, one of the neatest things one of our kids ever said, it kind of stunned me. She said, "You know, Mom, when my wife's on bed rest, I'm gonna make sure to do." And I had to stop him and say, "You know, most women don't have to bed rest." But he was willing to take that. Oh,
that's pretty cool.
You know, just that heart just blessed me so much.
You know, that's a good thing, too, just to interject this. When you go through a trial like this, it's good to bring your kids in and say, "Hey, this is hard. I'm being realistic. Yes. It's hard for me. It's hard for us, for you. But it's not forever. It's not always this going to be this way."
Yes.
And so, you know, it's just like we've tried to really emphasize to our daughters. We talk about all these hard pregnancies that we went through, but yet, likelihood, they will never encounter that.
That's
they don't
right.
need to fear that kind of thing.
You know, one thing that I saw that our children really gained from this is that when we were financially struggling is we saw God's provision. Like, I remember one time, I think it was that pregnancy that you were out of work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on bed rest. We're wondering how we're going to pay the bills, how we're going to buy what the necessities of life. And we went to church one day, and they had a pounding.
These
people probably don't know what a pounding is.
Yeah, pounding. A pounding is an old Southern custom in the churches where if you got a new pastor or a new family is moving into a home or something, where you send the word out through the church that on this Sunday, bring a housewarming gift. Bring groceries, bring casseroles, bring whatever it is that God puts on your hand, on your heart. And so they had a pounding for us, and I came home, and we had dry goods, we had paper goods, we had frozen turkeys,
There were 7 fishing coolers full of cold stuff, and the dry goods filled our 7-foot-long kitchen table, 3 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you gathered the children around, and you said, "Children, look, I want you to remember this all your lives. I want you to remember that when you think you can't provide for your family, that God will take care of you. Often it's through your hard work or through your ingenuity, but sometimes just through the love of the brethren." And how about a month later, about a month after you got a new job, we had the baby, everything was all right. So this was a month after everything resolved. We were at our homeschool choir, and the leader raised her hand. The leader said, "Is there anybody that has any prayer requests?" And this little kid stood up and said, "Yes, tears in his eyes, would you please pray for my family? My daddy just lost his job, and I don't know what we're going to do." And our children stood up and testified to how God had taken care of us while you were out of work and during that pregnancy. And they told the story, and they increased that child's faith, and they increased the faith of all the kids in that room. And, you know, in my flesh, I would rather not have any needs, and I would definitely rather not have to accept people's gifts.
And yet, it's God's provision.
It's God's provision.
And we don't see that kind of thing
when we
don't have the need.
Right. And see, God taught our kids things through that I don't think they could have learned any other way. You know, He taught them that He is there and He provides and He loves us, and that when He gives lambs, He gives pasture.
I love that line.
You know,
yeah.
And
okay.
You know, one thing I'd like to talk about is how to answer people when they say those things that just cut you to the quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the comments that a large family normally gets, you know,
yeah,
are they all yours, better you than me, all that stuff really starts hurting badly when it looks untimely, when you look irresponsible, even though there's no irresponsibility bringing new life into this world. But it's hard because those things really, really hurt when you're struggling yourself to accept the situation. And I think one thing to remember is that people are like chickens.
Mm-hmm.
They pick on those they perceive to be weak.
And so if you were confident, if you showed some confidence and some faith, then you're sort of challenging them back.
Oh, they'll back down immediately. My experience is that if you ruffle up your feathers and you act like the big chicken in the room, they bow down and start, you know, pecking for sand around the floor because they're not gonna fight you. So how does that look? So if they say, "Wow, you're pregnant again? I can't believe that. What in the world were you thinking?" And you can respond several ways. You can say, "Oh, I know, it's a horrible time," and they're gonna just jump all over you. But if you say instead, "I know, it doesn't look like a good time, but you know what? God is sovereign. He is faithful, and I know this child is a blessing." What are they going to say? If you're talking to another Christian, what are they going to say about that?
Yeah. If they're moderately decent people. Now, they're trolls.
There are trolls. But I'll tell you how to shut up a troll.
Mm.
Let me tell you how to shut up a troll. Trolls, my policy is, if people say anything reasonably decent, then I will respond cheerfully with the truth of God's word. If they get coarse or nasty,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, questioning your sex life in front of your kids, then how I respond is this. I look at them and say, "You know, do you usually ask intimate questions of complete strangers? Have you considered counseling for that?"
You know, because it is one of those things. Somebody said pregnant women belong to the world. And, you know, and the world kind of acts that way. Just like anybody can comment on your pregnancy or the baby or, you know, even reach out and touch the belly kind of thing. And it's not right. And yet there's that attitude. And so it is good sometimes to just, you know, politely but firmly to say, "You have crossed a line.
Yeah.
This is not, you are acting, you know, in the wrong, not me."
Well, I remember standing in line at Walmart one day, and these two elderly ladies were in the next line over.
Mm-hmm.
And they were making very rude remarks about our family. And one of my children looked up at me and said, "Mama, why are those ladies talking about us like that?" And I just looked down at the child and I said, "Honey, I don't know, but their mothers must not have taught them how rude that was."
Mm-hmm.
And those ladies turned all kinds of shades of red and shut right up.
So that was good. You did them so good.
Yes. You know, and so be bold, because you have nothing to be ashamed of.
No.
bearing a life is a gift of God.
It's an honor.
It's an honor God has placed in you, and you have nothing to be ashamed of, regardless of the circumstances. And so ruffle up your feathers and tell them that you're grateful that God has given you another child, no matter what, that you're trusting Him to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are some ways that you can cope if, you know, the finances have bottomed out, you don't know what to do? Well, one thing is, you can look for a lay midwife instead of an expensive OB.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that wasn't a possibility for us with a high-risk pregnancy, but for most people, that's a great way to go. In fact, it's actually a safer way to go for most people.
Truth.
And you know, shows it.
And, you know, being transparent about your needs.
Yes, being honest with your church, especially.
Being honest with your church to say, we are struggling. We really need your prayer. If there's anybody that can, you know, help us out in one way or another, we would really welcome some help. You know, just being transparent like that, it gives people a chance to fulfill Galatians 6:1, which says to bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. If nobody ever sees your burden, how are they going to bear it?
Yes.
How are they going to fulfill that commandment? So, you know, to go to your church, just to be transparent in the normal, you know, prayer request time, and also to be transparent with your doctor to say, hey, you know what, I lost my job and our insurance is all in flux or whatever. You know, what can we do to manage the cost of this? Because, you know, we found a couple of circumstances that came up one time or another that we could go back to a medical practice and say, hey, we're dealing with some financial issues here. Can we negotiate a payment plan, or can we negotiate on the billing? Because a lot of times they just bill whatever the standard rate is for the insurance in the area. And they don't give it a second thought. And if you come say, I have cash, I'll be willing to write you a check, a lot of times they will work with you on the amount.
And if you're going to a large hospital, like a university hospital, a regional medical center, a lot of times they have a standard discount rate that if you don't have insurance, that they rate it your income balance with how many children you have. And I know you can very easily get even a 100% scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
At many regional medical centers, if you've got a large family and don't have much income. And so don't be afraid to ask for help, because I was embarrassed and ashamed about those things. But I remember one of the ladies at Duke, when we needed some help when you had cancer, Hal,
mm-hmm.
told me, she said, oh no, please don't be embarrassed. You people are the kind of people we love to help. You're not trying to sponge on the system. You are good people who paid into the system for years and who have hit hard times. And mm-hmm. we love to help people like you.
Well, and I think I heard Larry Burkett say it one time, long time ago, somebody was asking about, is it right to accept unemployment payments? And he said, you know what? That money had been taken out of your paycheck for years to pay into, yes, unemployment insurance. You are entitled to it. It's not a matter of, you know, sucking something out of the system.
Right.
You have earned that. And so don't feel sheepish about accepting help, especially in that kind of that sort.
Yes.
And so anything else? I mean, we talked about the relationship kind of issues and,
well, you know,
the financial issues.
I remember a very wise older woman telling me when we faced that huge crisis when our youngest was in ICU for weeks,
mm-hmm.
which no human being can afford.
Right.
And the hospital made us apply for Medicaid before they would even consider helping us.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, that was so embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And yet, you need to remember that if you have to do something like that, there is nothing in the Word of God that tells you not to take that money, because you have paid those taxes for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And if God is providing for you through it now, there's no shame. You get what you need to take care of your children. Okay, and no embarrassment there. God's provision may be through the love of the brethren. It may be through work. It might be through unexpected means you've never imagined, or a new job, or it might be government help. It might be private foundations, but God will take care of you and your children. Don't worry.
Because He has said that children are a blessing and a gift, and we are not to be shy about welcoming them. That this is something that we can take as a reward from our Heavenly Father, who works all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose.
Amen. Don't forget to visit our sponsor,
mm-hmm.
schoolhouseteachers.com. And go out on iTunes and leave us a review if you don't mind, because we would love to see that. It helps more people find us.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say how much I've enjoyed meeting our listeners at our conferences this year. Please do come up and tell us you listen if you meet us at the conference, because we need the encouragement.
And you know what? If you like this kind of free content out here, and you know, we just throw it out here for your benefit and edification and all the rest of that, but if you really want to be part of this ministry with us, come alongside and become a patron, okay? We have an account with Patreon. That's patreon.com/HalandMelanie. And you can become an ongoing sponsor, an ongoing patron to help support this ministry. Just $1 a month and they'll get you on the inside, or however much God puts on your heart. So patreon.com/HalandMelanie.
Thank you so much, guys. It's been a blessing talking to you this week.
And we appreciate you joining us and hope you'll join us again for our next episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. Until then, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.